Hello, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here with another episode of You're the Cure. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a great show today. Got a great guest, Ronnie Cummings. He and Dr. Joe Mercola teamed up to write a book that we're going to talk about today, The Truth About COVID-19. So it's going to be a great show. We'll try to get it all crammed in. Before we bring Ronnie in, though, I just want to set the stage a little bit, mostly for new listeners. We have a lot of new listeners tuning in lately since COVID started. It seems like we've gotten a lot more popular, a lot more censored, but more popular at the same time. So I just want to say for the new listeners, remind you that my background is 100% allopathic medicine. Both my granddads were MDs. I have two uncles that are MDs. My great-great-grandfather was an MD. I knew nothing but the allopathic model, went to medical school at UT Houston, went to Waco for family practice residency. I was chief resident of my class there, and then ended up in Post Texas, West Texas, being a small town country doctor like my granddad's. I was as straight down the straight and narrow path as you could be. I remember my younger brother asking me on behalf of his college roommate what I thought about chiropractic school, because he was thinking about going, and I remember telling my younger brother to tell his roommate, those are quacks. Which I've repented for, by the way, all you chiropractors out there, I've repented many times for that statement, but I said that out of total ignorance. I had no idea what chiropractors even did. So that's just a little reminder that my background is allopathic. You know, follow the rules set forth by the institutions of our healthcare system. And I had no reason to doubt it. I walked across the medical school stage, got my diploma, went out in the world to be a doctor to help people. I think most doctors go to medical school to help people. I thought, naively, now understand, I thought, though, at the time, that medical school taught me all that I needed to know to help people. And therefore, if something else came around, you know, if a patient came to me with something they read on the internet, if I didn't learn it in medical school, it couldn't be true. That was my thought process, that medical school taught me everything, and therefore everything else is not true. And if the CDC, the WHO, and the FDA, and the Texas Medical Association, the American Medical Association, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, and all the American Cancer Society, if all these guys weren't saying it or agreeing with it, then, you know, I couldn't either. So that's where I came from. That's my background. As y'all know, my nurse practitioner at the time, 10 years ago, met an integrative doctor. And that integrative doctor told him there is no such thing as diseases. They're all consequences. It's diet and lifestyle that drive all this disease. My nurse practitioner believed him and did what he said to do, and he became symptom-free of his chronic disease. That was one anecdotal report. Doctors aren't supposed to listen to anecdotal reports, but I did, because it was an impressive one-person turnaround that I saw in my life. My nurse practitioner got well. That led to 10 of my sickest patients going to an integrative practitioner, and all 10 of those very sick patients came back well. So there were 10 more anecdotal reports that I'm supposed to ignore, but I couldn't ignore. And now 10 years later and 20,000 anecdotal reports later, I understand that what I learned in medical school was not the whole story. It's clear in my mind and in my heart, I know 100% clearly that there is more to know and more to do with patients than what I learned in medical school. So we're going to talk about some things today that, if you're new to thinking outside the box or new to getting outside of conventional media and conventional mindsets, it may shock you a little bit, but I'm just going to tell you where my journey led me was follow the money. The love of money is the root of all evil, Scripture says. So who funds medical school? Who funds medical research? Who funds media, TV stations, newspapers, magazines? Who is social media intertangled with financially? Who funds the CDC? Where does their money come from? Who funds the FDA? Where does most of their budgetary money come from? Who funds the WHO? I think it is naive to think that when billions and even trillions of dollars are on the line, for us to not consider who's funding all of this entire, quote, healthcare system, I call it sick care now, to not consider who's funding that, and any conflicts of interest, biases, or ulterior motives would be naive of us. And I have come to a place where I'm not as naive as I used to be. So keep all that in mind. These institutions we need to be careful with. we need to consider that maybe there's conflicts of interest. Who told us tobacco was safe? DDT was safe? Roundup was safe? Mercury, fluoride, I could go on and on. Who's told us these things are safe? So let's keep an open mind if you're new to this, and let's explore further this whole COVID-19 situation. So that's why we have Ronnie Cummins joining us today. The book is The Truth About COVID-19. Dr. Joseph Mercola and Ronnie Cummins both authored this book. Ronnie Cummins is founder and director of the Organic Consumers Association, which is a nonprofit U.S.-based network of more than 2 million consumers dedicated to safeguarding organic standards and promoting a healthy, just, and regenerative system of food, farming, and commerce. Ronnie Cummins also serves on the steering committee of Regeneration International and OCA's Mexican affiliate, Via Organicia, Organica, I'm sorry. I didn't do well in Spanish class back in the day. All right, Ronnie Cummins, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Well, good to be with you.
Ronnie, I'd like to give you the opportunity. I know we want to dive into the subject matter at hand, but just give a little bit, as much as you'd like to, of your background and kind of how you got to where you are today, doing what you're doing today, just so people kind of have a feel for who you are.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Southeast Texas in the Port Arthur Beaumont Orange area, which the oil companies called the Golden Triangle. So I got a very good education in environmental pollution growing up. But thank goodness my grandparents, who were very traditional rural people from southwestern Louisiana, they had a family farm in East Texas where I got to go every weekend and summers. And so I got introduced to natural practices. They were organic farmers and raised their animals organically, but they didn't even know what the word organic was, for sure. They were just doing what they had learned from their parents and their grandparents in southwest Louisiana. And so I, early on, learned to appreciate good, healthy food and home cooking and, treating animals well and, getting along with your neighbors in a rural setting. And so, quite a bit later when I studied, went off to college in the late 1960s, there was a movement of a lot of young people to move back to the land or to start food co-ops and, to look at our diets and what people were eating and change our diets and change our way of eating, change our going back to farming that was more like what our grandparents and great-grandparents had done. And then I came into contact with a lot of natural health healers and natural remedies, reminding me of the things that my grandmother used to do. I don't think my grandparents ever went to a doctor. And they hardly ever went to the grocery store either. They raised all their food. But as I got older, I got involved in more larger public education campaigns around how healthy food and traditional natural remedies were extremely important. And I noticed how out of kilter the medical the for-profit medical system was. One early indication was, my stepmother was a little bit too trusting in, so-called modern medicine. And she took a drug when she was pregnant for my younger sister called thalidomide. And the doctors told her, it'll eliminate your morning sickness. And then my little sister was born with deformed toes and fingers, and like 100,000 other kids had to really struggle with the fact that Big Pharma had lied and had covered up the side effects of a drug. So I had a lot of other experiences with so-called modern Big Pharma medicine over the years, as well as Big Ag, the Monsantos and Cargills of the world. And I developed a healthy skepticism for whatever the establishment tells us when, like you said, you follow the money and you see that they're definitely prone to tell you things that are going to make them money or keep them rich. And so that's what happened with COVID-19 is immediately last January when I started reading about this, I thought, well, this sounds fishy. I wonder what's going on. And so I contacted Dr. McCullough and others I've worked with over the years, and we started interviewing people who were experts at how scientists genetically engineer viruses and bacteria to make them more transmissible and more virulent, and how even though this is against international law to create biological weapons, that they just say, oh, this is biomedicine, this is just vaccine research, we're not breaking any laws, and don't worry about our laboratories, they're all safe, we're not going to have any leaks, we're not going to have any accidents. And then I started to dig a little deeper, and I saw, you know, in the United States, we have an accident every 2 days in a lab like Wuhan. Thank goodness most of these accidents don't result in pandemics, but there's a very great likelihood that this is going to happen again. And this one has been, serious enough. So the more we looked into the origins, it was clear this is a lab-engineered virus that hopefully accidentally escaped from a lab in China, and that what they've been telling us is a big lie. And at first it was hard for people to figure out, well, why would the U.S. government lie to us about the origins of this virus if it was an accident at a Chinese lab? And then we learned, oh, yeah, by the way, Dr. Anthony Fauci and the National Institutes of Health were funding this research in Wuhan, China. And the reason they were funding it in Wuhan, China, is that they weren't allowed to do this kind of research for a number of years in the U.S., this so-called gain of function. And so it became clear, and it's become much clearer a year later, that the origins of this virus, this is not a natural occurrence. This is not an act of God. This is not something that could not have been prevented. This is an act of human madness, special interests who, get funded to do this kind of research, or vaccine companies who profit off this, and then pandemic engineers like Bill Gates, World Economic Forum, who eerily predicted this was going to happen as recently as October 2019. And they discussed, well, if a pandemic like this happens, how do we handle it? How do we turn this to our advantage? How do we suppress the rebellion that will occur when we try to shut down society and censor stuff? So the deeper we looked into this, we saw the lies surrounding COVID-19 are not just about how it started. I want to say one more thing about the cover-up of the origins. This is not a partisan political issue. It's clear now the Trump administration knew what happened. The CIA knew what happened. They never really came up with the full story. Yeah, Trump called it the Chinese virus, which was, more correct than claiming it came out of nature. But did Trump ever tell us that this type of research was suspended in the U.S. under the Obama administration, and that his administration, at the urging of Fauci and others, had started this up again and were funding this type of research over in China? Now, we were never told the full story. And then the Biden administration comes in, and they're very anxious to criticize Trump. But have we heard from Biden yet that, my CIA is telling me this was a lab release. This was not an accident of nature. And they're telling me that we, the U.S. and the U.S. military and the vaccine companies, were funding this, and that this kind of research is going on all around the world right now, and that we have no intention of stopping this kind of so-called gain-of-function research. So anyway, then you start looking at, okay, they claim all these cases are emerging and everyone got scared around the world. And then you look a little more closely at, well, what kind of, how are they determining what is a case? What is a case? I mean, it turns out it was, they were over magnifying these lab tests, these PCR tests, to make it look like there was an infection in people when in most cases there were not. They were over magnifying or calibrating these machines, and they were able to generate statistics that said there were millions of cases and that they spread, unlike any disease people have known just about. They spread even if you don't show symptoms, you know, and they're a threat to young and old alike, healthy and unhealthy alike, and there's nothing you can do to prevent it or to treat it except hunker down, wear your mask, obey orders, and wait for the magic vaccines. Well, the more we looked at this, it was obvious what was going on. And we also, you know, you start looking around, well, how come certain countries aren't having as many hospitalizations and deaths and real cases? And then you see, well, in a lot of the world, they don't have the money for these expensive patented big pharma drugs. So they were using other drugs like malaria medicine or hydroxychloroquine and zinc. Or, you know, down here in Mexico, you can still buy at a over-the-counter, you can buy an animal parasite medicine, ivermectin, which also humans use. So there were treatments that were keeping people out of the hospital. There were treatments that were, preventing people with ever coming down symptoms. But Silicon Valley, the mass media were censoring these. And we started noticing, we got a notice from Facebook after we published an article. It was very well cited, saying that people who have, you know, optimum vitamin D levels in their body and strong immune systems almost never come down with the symptoms, much less get hospitalized or die. And we were warned, don't talk about that anymore, or we're going to strip away your ability to communicate with your 2 million followers on social media. So we were threatened later for talking about the origins. We were threatened about talking about, well, these aren't really vaccines, especially the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines that they're using in the U.S. These are experimental drugs, which we in the genetic engineering movement used to call gene therapy drugs. These are drugs that are injected into you that are not like any vaccines that people have ever, had injected in them. These are designed to make your body do things it would never have done. Basically genetically engineering your system. And so, you know, the Moderna or the Pfizer, these aren't weakened versions of the virus or that would cause your body to hopefully to develop the antibodies. These make your body start producing spike proteins. Human bodies have never been programmed to produce spike proteins. And the spike proteins are, you know, they're found on the coronavirus on the outer portions of it. This helps the coronavirus, in this case, get into human cells and start multiplying if you don't have a strong immune system to fight them off. So it's like these are experimental gene therapy drugs that they could never have gotten permission to experiment on large numbers of people with, but that's what they're doing. And they look at, if you look behind the scenes, as our staff have done, who's funding all this mad science around the world? Well, in the U.S., there's even more money coming out of the military-industrial complex than there is out of Big Pharma to fund these vaccines. We're talking billions of dollars, of $60 billion in the case of the recent COVID, coming out of the military to fund this kind of research, to fund the acquisition of vaccines, to fund the distribution of vaccines, and to experiment with, you know, how far can we push people? How much can we track people? Can we get people so scared that they will actually be willing to inject an experimental drug into their bodies, and maybe down in the future they wouldn't even care if there was a computer chip included in this so that we could track them for the rest of their lives if they had had a vaccine. So the more you looked into this, the more it became clear that this pandemic was highly anticipated and planned for and has been manipulated by people who absolutely know things like you can't transmit this disease except in really rare cases if you don't have symptoms. A, it's no threat to young people or healthy people. I mean, yeah, 25,000 people have COVID-19 on their death certificates from last year who were 50 years old or younger. But when you look more carefully at their death certificates, they also listed, you know, two or three chronic diseases that the people already had, diabetes, obesity, lung disease, heart disease, kidney disease, that were contributing factors. So, yes, COVID-19 is a dangerous biological trigger that can make underlying chronic diseases more threatening and even kill you, but only if you look at the real evidence for older people in poor health. The overwhelming majority of the population deal with this virus, even though it's genetically engineered to be highly transmissible and it's nanoparticleized, so it floats in the air. There is no scientific evidence that mask wearing outside of a hospital context where you're going to have some coughing and actual droplets. I mean, there's no evidence that wearing masks does anything other than teaches people to be afraid of one another and destroys the economy and makes people scared of one another. There's no evidence that children transmit this to their parents or to their teachers. There's no evidence that people who don't exhibit symptoms spread the disease. So this all adds up to something pretty ominous and pretty scary. And it's we're going to have to deal with this. We're going to have to deal with this by breaking through the barriers between people and starting to get the truth out and unite. Doesn't matter whether you voted for Biden or Trump or, you know, you voted for a third party or you didn't vote at all. You were so disgusted about the alternatives. What matters is that we all want a healthy planet. We want good things for our kids. We don't want there to be undue suffering. We don't want to have to spend our whole lives or the latter part of our lives hooked up to some machine in some hospital, being injected with drugs and told that you can't even visit your family. We gotta deal with this. And it's very hard because when you create mass panic, I mean, this is what the Nazis did in Germany in the 30s. They had a terrible economic situation coming out of the First World War. The whole world ganged up on Germany to punish them, and rightly so in a certain way, for what they had done in the First World War. But the Nazis managed to convince otherwise, you know, pretty smart, educated people, the German public, that Jewish people and gypsies and you know, homosexuals and communists were the root of all evil, that they were a mortal threat, and that we had to get rid of these diseased elements in the society. And, you know, they were conducting medical experiments, they were gassing people, there were, you know, trains taking people to the concentration camps. And I mean, Did the medical profession in Germany speak up against this? No, they didn't. They benefited from the experiments on people. They never spoke up. And, of course, a lot of people didn't speak up who should have. And it just shows it's really dangerous when you scare the public into believing that they're going to die if they don't follow orders, that there's an enemy out there, in this case a microbe, that can't be warded off except if you follow orders and wait for the vaccine. People lose their rationality. That's what's happened in the United States. You wonder why you can't have a civilized discussion anymore with half the people you try to talk to. Well, it's because they're scared. They lost their ability to look at both sides of the issue or all the sides of an issue. All they do is they listen to CNN, and if they don't like Trump and people who voted for Trump, they believe everything they hear on CNN. You know, and I mean, I wish we were getting the full information from the media that supported Trump. Fox News is better than CNN, what they're saying about COVID, and they're a little more open. But we're still not getting the full story from many different cases. That this is, you know, Fauci worked for Bush. Fauci worked for Clinton. Fauci worked for Obama. He worked for, Trump, and now he's working for Biden. He didn't work for Bush, by the way. It started out with Clinton. But this guy holds numerous patents. He's benefiting financially from the panic and the vaccines, he and his other scientists. And he, contradicts himself constantly. I mean, how can someone like Fauci say, in previous years, these PCR tests, you can't calibrate them too high or you get false positives. I mean, he said this in print. And yet the National Institutes of Health and World Health Organization, they deliberately had people all over the world using PCR tests, setting them way too high so that the cases, the numbers looked really alarming. See these charts, people got more and more panicky. Well, it's interesting. The vaccines come out. These aren't vaccines. As I pointed out, they're vaccines in name only. These experimental drugs came out late fall, early winter. And, a lot of people were skeptical, and justifiably so. But all of a sudden, the CDC sent out a notice to doctors and health people and health labs around the country saying, turn down the PCR tests. In other words, don't magnify them so high. They sent out a notice in December of last year, and then they sent out one this January. And so all at the same time, you saw headlines saying cases are falling across the U.S. Cases are falling across the world. Oh, it's because of the vaccines and the masks and the lockdowns. No. Cases fell because these weren't cases in the first place. And if you turn down the PCR tests, you get less false positives than you did before. So it's, and now that they can't hide the fact anymore that in the U.S. and most countries, cases have fallen, hospitalizations have fallen, deaths have fallen drastically. They got this new thing. Well, there's variants of COVID that are arising in South Africa and other countries, and these variants are really dangerous and scary, and it's not clear if vaccines work. One day they tell you they will work against the variants. The next day they tell you they won't. But they always, and they say, and they could lead to more hospitalizations and deaths, and giving you the impression that even healthy people and young people could be infected and so on and so on. So they're playing us like a fiddle. They're playing with people's fears. They're playing with people's greatest insecurities. They have convinced, you know, a great portion of the population that we have to make little kids wear masks, whether they're in school or not. We got to teach them that everyone is a danger, that you can't hug people, you can't kiss people. You should take this vaccination, which is just insane to be giving that to children. And here we are. So I've raved on, but I'd like to just say one thing, which is that this whole premise of for-profit medicine, big pharma, through this period, I mean, what are they telling us? They're basically saying, okay, we know Americans are, you know, the majority of people, including youth now, have chronic diseases. We know most people are overweight. We know a huge proportion are obese. We know that cancer is an epidemic. Most men are going to get cancer. Almost 50% of women are going to get cancer. We know that we've never seen anything like the level of these chronic diseases we have. But you can't do anything about it. I mean, even though all the evidence points to why are so many people sick? Why is their immune system so depressed? Why do they have all these chronic diseases? Well, could it have anything to do with poisoned food, eating too much processed food? Could it have anything to do with sedentary lifestyles and not getting enough sunshine and fresh air? Could it have anything to do with all these toxic chemicals that corporations have put into our food and our water and our environment, the forever chemicals, the chemicals that give you Parkinson's and cancer and all that? Could it have anything to do with the fact that the water is getting more and more polluted all over the country, the air, and so on and so forth? They want us to believe that right now, you and your family and everyone you know, you're as healthy as you're ever going to get. It's all downhill from here. You better sit back and let us inject you with this, in this case, the messenger RNA drugs. And I just think this is horrible. I look back at my grandparents and my great grandparents, and they knew that healthy food, exercise, fresh air, natural remedies basically would keep you going. We're all going to die at some point. The point is to have the quality of your life. The point is, what are you leaving behind to your children and to the future generations? The point is, you know, did you enjoy life? You know, did you enjoy the blessings that we have every day all around us? Or did you hunker down and watch TV and stay in front of the computer and, you know, get so damn scared you couldn't even think straight?
Yeah.
That's my little sermon for the day, Ben.
Well, that's one of the best 30-minute sermons I've ever heard. So thank you, Ronnie. That was awesome. We are up against a break, and so you get to do part two on the sermon when we come back. We'll dive a little deeper, and I've got a couple comments too on what you just had to say. So y'all stick with us. We will be right back. I'm talking with Ronnie Cummings. He's from Organic Consumers Association. Y'all check that out. The Truth About COVID-19 is the name of the book. The subtitle is Exposing the Great Reset, Lockdowns, Vaccine Passports, and the New Normal. This is by Dr. Joseph Mercola and Ronnie Cummings. The foreword in there was awesome by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So y'all check that out, The Truth About COVID-19. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. Okay, everybody, we're back with Ronnie Cummings. He's a co-author along with Dr. Joe Mercola. The Truth About COVID-19 is the book. You can get it, I think, everywhere where books are sold. Are y'all still available on Amazon and all
It's just coming out to bookstores, being shipped this week. And for people who ordered it over the internet, it's being shipped very shortly.
Okay.
And apparently it's selling really well. Amazon has already bought 100,000 copies, which are non-returnable. So even though Amazon is one of the corporations profiting off COVID-19, I guess they want to make a few million dollars off Dr. McCullough, my book as well.
So. Yeah. Well, if they can make money off both sides of this story, I guess they will. Ronnie, a couple things I want to go back to. You mentioned Dr. Fauci doublespeak and contradicting himself, which I 100% agree with, and I've given examples of that, and I just want to remind listeners, he also has been quoted in print that asymptomatic spreaders are never, ever, with viral infections like this, they're never what's driving a pandemic. When you don't have symptoms, you're not spreading this. Fauci has said that. Fauci has also said in the past, before all this started, that masks do nothing to decrease transmission of these type of respiratory viruses that are so tiny, the masks don't block them. So there's multiple things, multiple examples of flip-flopping. And when he does, it appears it's just based off his own opinion. It's not like a lot of new data came out to prove that a mask work or social distancing works or whatever. It's just a matter of the edict comes out from Dr. Fauci. So that's number one. That's very confusing for the general public who's trying to follow along here and figure out how do I really take care of myself when you can see the flip-flopping. And as Ronnie mentioned, the PCR test too that he talked about in the past, and he's flip-flopped on that. Ronnie, I want to go back real quick because I mean, this is so much about follow the money and definitely exploiting fear. And that was chapter 5, exploiting fear to lock down freedom. But that event 201 real quick, you mentioned it in the beginning. But for people who have never heard of that, can you just explain a little more about this event 201? Who was involved in that? Who came up with that? Who were the players in that? And when exactly did that come out? Because I found when I first read about that, I mean, I was pretty shocked how things have just played out almost to a T. It's like that was the dress rehearsal, and then the actual thing came to fruition just a few short months later. So can you just speak on that a little more for those who are unfamiliar?
Well, because I'm a student of history and an investigator and a writer, I noticed some parallels to event 2-1 to some stuff that happened right before 9/11 and the anthrax attacks, where, you know, there were all these warnings that this was going to happen. And then there was a war games that they actually did called Deep Winter right before 9/11, where they simulated a very similar group to event 201, but they simulated what would happen if a weaponized anthrax attack occurred in the United States. And of course, one did occur right after 9/11. They talked about the mass panic that would ensue. They talked about how people would be willing to accept what some of them already knew had been written, the Patriot Act, that curtailed constitutional liberties in this country like we've never had before, other than maybe during the First World War. So anyway, this kind of anticipation of a disaster has occurred before in recent history. Okay, so Event 201, the thing is, this wasn't even a secret meeting. They talked about this. It was in a hotel in New York City in October of 2019. Now, think back a little bit. Well, the Chinese first acknowledged some cases of COVID-19 to themselves and kept it from the rest of the country not too long after that in China. So anyway, Event 201 was organized by the World Economic Forum, and I guess the best way I can describe this is it's the global chamber of commerce of really rich people, you know, who think that they know best and that they should set the agenda, not just in a particular country, but worldwide. And they're quite willing to work with dictatorships like China, who have perfected, you know, this sort of 1984 style surveillance society, total control, and so on. So the World Economic Forum was one of the organizers. The World Health Organization, which, you know, people used to think on the surface, well, these people do some good things, you know, they work on hunger, they work on sanitation, they try to help poor countries. Well, you just got to look at who pays the bills for the WHO, and the three biggest funders are China, the U.S., and Bill Gates. These people now, unfortunately, call the shots. So WHO, World Economic Forum, the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. Well, that sounds like a group that has our interests in mind, doesn't it? No. When you look a little closer, Johns Hopkins funds all this kind of mad science around the world, pretending it's vaccine science when it's something much more dangerous. And the one of the people, and then you had all these CEOs from multi-billion dollar transnational corporations were at the world, were at the event 201. And also the one of the former heads of the CIA, among others. And, you know, we probably don't know everyone that was there. But why would the CIA and WHO and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and World Economic Forum, why would they be holding a conference on what to do when a pandemic breaks out, and then within a month the pandemic breaks out? You know, and, you know, they actually they published a transcript of what went on, what was discussed at these meetings. And it just makes your hair stand on end, because they were talking about a pandemic. You know, they didn't exactly say SARS-CoV-2, but they were talking about a viral pandemic that arose, and that there was going to be mass panic around the world because people wouldn't have natural immunity, or a lot of people wouldn't, to this virus, and that there was going to be the need to change longstanding political traditions and curtail public policy. And they talked a lot about how what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of people who are going to rise up and say that this pandemic was not as the authorities are describing, and that they were going to have to censor this disinformation, they called it, that they were going to have to, instigate draconian, what they call public health measures, but, you know, what we now see are the lockdowns and so on. So it's like, how in the world did this happen, you know? And how could people be so arrogant, the organizers of Event 201, that they don't think we're going to notice that they had a planning meeting right before this happened, and that they talked about censorship and curtailing, you know, constitutional rights, you know, for the good of the public and so on. But they did, just like the people who planned for a terrorist attack like 9/11 and an anthrax attack. They knew this was going to happen sooner or later, and they wanted to be prepared for it. So the first time around, the boogeyman was, Arab terrorists. They're a threat to all of us. So therefore, let's pass the Patriot Act, you know, which curtailed civil liberties in a way that we had not seen before. And people believed this for quite a while. The war on terror was the boogeyman of the day. We went into Iraq, we went into Afghanistan, we started allowing the internet companies to openly work with the CIA and tap all of our phones, follow all of our, but then that kind of died out. People finally realized that, well, you know, Afghanistan, they don't really threaten me, you know, or this country. Iraq, we made up the fact that they had weapons of mass destruction. We got in there and we spent $6 trillion fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we didn't, quote, win. So the war on terror kind of lost its ability to scare people and keep them in line and let the super rich make tons of money. And so the pandemics were the new boogeyman, and they've been much more successful with biological warfare scaring people than the war on terror, or before that it was communism, or they've always used excuses. It's a way to control people. Fear and panic are the best tools of control, and we're living through it right now.
Right.
And we are going to have to fight our ancestors had to fight against tyranny and make a revolution with the goal of having a real democracy of, by, and for the people. And thing is, we never did really have a true democracy. We had, important advances, but we're going to have to do it again. And it's going to have to be global. And this time the doctors, I believe, and the healers, the honest ones, are going to be standing up and telling the truth. And this is going to be a major reason how we're going to turn around this public fear and calm people down. And get them, we got to get people to stop hating one another. It's like, just because someone voted for Biden or someone voted for Trump, I mean, most people who voted for either Trump or Biden were not that thrilled about this person. They had a lot of reasons. And it's just like, we got to get over that. We got to get down to, what do we really have in common that we care about? How can we help our children, our grandchildren, the future generations? How can we live meaningful, happy, healthy lives? And I think that's our challenge.
Yeah, amen. And it's a big challenge. And I can just say that my antennas started going off, and red flags started coming when the fear was obviously driving everything. I mean, Scripture, the most quoted, repeated thing in Scripture is, don't fear, thou shalt not fear, fear not. I didn't give you a spirit of fear. So that's number one. If we're taking a spiritual perspective of this, we know automatically right away we're not lining up with the truth if we're walking in fear. But the number two thing, because that event 201, when I first read about it, if you're a kind of a skeptic to things, you can say, that could have been a coincidence. Well, we're, like you said, we're a year into this now or more. And we can't even admit that we were wrong on lockdowns working, on social distancing working, on mask working. I mean, it's clear. There's no debate. The science is clear. Common sense is clear. I mean, it's just clear. But we can't even, a year into this, admit that we were so wrong on that. That's a huge red flag. The second red flag for me is the inability to admit when we're wrong, repent, and go and turn the other way and get back lined up with the truth. So those two huge red flags. The censorship, and this is part of the book too, these successful protocols that are suppressed, chapter 8, And I'm going to talk about pharmaceutical-based ones, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. The data is so, a mountain of data, as Dr. Pierre Corey would say, and Dr. Peter McCullough, both of whom testified at Ron Johnson's Senate committee hearing. And that's not even getting into the so-called, holistic natural treatments that for sure couldn't work, stuff like vitamin C IV or ozone or ultraviolet blood irradiation or hydrogen peroxide. Dr. Brownstein got shut down big time.
Yeah.
Vitamin D, vitamin A, quercetins, all these things. So that was red flag number three, when the data is so overwhelming and I can't even say that, or I get censored on social media and as well as these other doctors. I mean, Dr. McCullough, the most published cardiology guy in the world in his particular field, this guy's brilliant. Pierre Corey, same thing. He's a leader in critical care medicine, and his whole group, COVID-19criticalcare.com, y'all can check out his group. They're some of the most published and most well-respected critical care doctors, and they get censored. So there's huge red flags all over the place. And that's why my encouragement to people who tune out, if they hear the word conspiracy theory, quack, anti-vaxxer, those, go look up where those terms even came from. Who coined the term conspiracy theorist? Go check that out. That's your homework, listeners. Go. So if you hear anyone say, and I'm talking media sources, use those three words, anti-vaxxer, conspiracy theorist, and quack. Don't listen to those. I would encourage you to not listen to those media sources anymore. Don't listen to those folks, because that's automatically coming from a biased position. So there are so many red flags. They're almost too numerous to count. And the reason I love this book so much, and we're carrying it here in our clinic, so if you live here locally in Lubbock, you can come by our office, pick up a copy for sure, go to Amazon or wherever else they sell books and get a copy of it. Again, the name of it's The Truth About COVID-19, Exposing the Great Reset, Lockdowns, Vaccine Passports, and the New Normal. This book summarizes all of this, and like Ronnie's gone through so well, from how the pandemic unfolded, the lab leak, not natural origin, the event 201, the fear, exploiting fear. But then it also gives some solutions on protecting yourself from COVID-19. That's chapter 6. Talks about the pharmaceutical failures in chapter 7 and successful protocols that were suppressed in chapter 8, and then talks about how to take back control. And in our, we've got, you know, maybe 5 or 6, 7 minutes left, Ronnie. So in the time left, can you maybe just speak to the take back control? And you're kind of going that way before I started talking, but you know, I don't want to leave people hopeless, because we've painted this kind of bleak picture. But number one, we got to be informed. We've got to understand where we came from, understand the history, understand the players, understand when we got manipulated, when we got played with fear coming in. So let's bring truth. My people die from lack of knowledge, it talks about in Scripture too. So let's get informed. And that's what the book will help you do too, be informed. That's what we try to do with our show also. But then we got to move forward. So Ronnie, what are some steps the listeners might take, or that you talk about in the book that you can speak
to? Well, first thing is to stay informed. I mean, if you listened to Dr. Ben's radio show, keep doing that. But tune in to Mercola.com, tune in to OrganicConsumers.org, Children's Health Defense, that's Robert Kennedy Jr.'s group, and you know, you'll see National Vaccine Information Center, Millions Against Medical Mandates, or just some of the groups that are every day exposing the truth. And you need to turn off that TV and tune into the true information. The second thing is seek out people, and there are people in your family, in your community, who are open-minded around one or more of these issues, and start talking with them. Quit arguing with people who are so fearful that they can't even have a rational discussion with you. You can come back to those people later. Have faith. You know, I mean, there is, the truth is coming out globally, and they've made so many lies, they can't cover them all up. There are a lot of scientists, there's a lot of doctors, there's even a lot of politicians who want to do the right thing. And we're going to get stronger over time. And what I think we've got to come out of this realizing is that, you know, we're a global community and we've got to start thinking that way. You know, the Chinese people aren't our enemies, the Russian people aren't our enemies, the Iranian people aren't our enemies. We're all, as every religious and spiritual tradition says, we're all one family on this earth. And no one that I know of really likes their government, no matter what country they're in. They don't like the way arrogant corporations and scientists and militarists want to boss the rest of us around. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. And we're going to win down the road. But we've got to stand up. It takes, you know, like tomorrow I'm flying to the U.S. For my book coming out, and to have some meetings with people around the country. And yes, today I had to go down to a lab and get a damn test, because you're not allowed to fly without a paper that says you know, that you don't have COVID. So I'm willing to go that far, but I guarantee you, if a vaccine passport were required, I'd be starting a, you know, 20-hour drive to the border. I'm not going to fly on airplanes at the point at which you've got to have a vaccine passport, and I guess I'll never be able to go to Europe again and many other countries that I'd like to go to where my book is sold, but I'm not going to do it. You got to draw a line. And I go around and buy ivermectin. I go around and tell people about quercetin and zinc, and we've got to offer people alternatives, you know, whether they're accepted by the establishment or not. And it's more difficult in the United States, for example, where you can't buy malaria medicine or hydroxychloroquine over the counter, or you can't, and doctors who prescribe it, you know, are risking their licenses to do so. So it's hard, but you can, if you'll search around, you can buy, you can get a doctor to do a session with you over the phone, over the internet. You can get your hands on some stuff. Ivermectin especially is something that you can still buy it in feed stores for animals, but you can't buy it in drug stores. And look up ivermectin on the web and you'll see just how effective it's been. But you got to be careful if you're buying ivermectin in an animal feed store or a veterinarian store. The doses, you got to check with a medical practitioner or a natural health person who knows that. But I mean, down here in Mexico, where I've been for several months working, you can still buy ivermectin as much as you want in the drugstores. And the word has spread across the country that you don't need to, you know, stand in line to get some dangerous drug injected into you, that if you have symptoms or you think you have symptoms or you're at risk, you can, you know, take ivermectin a couple of days. But all of us have to realize that healthy food is not just an afterthought, you know? It's like healthy food is a right of people. You know, food used to be a lot healthier in my grandparents' generation when I was growing up than it is now. And you can't just listen to what the mass media tells you. You can't just go for something because it tastes good. You know, use your sense, you know? And our bodies are our temples is in some of the religious tradition, and we need to treat it like that. You're more dangerous to people. It's not wearing a mask or not. It's the state of your immune system. You know, if you have a degraded immune system, there's viruses that can infect you and make you sick and make you transmit it. I mean, everyone knows, it's always known, if you feel sick, stay home, period. But keep in mind that, you know, masks aren't gonna save you if you've got these, what they call comorbidities or serious medical problems. We can all take charge of our health starting today. We can take charge of our information. We can spend our everyday lives in a meaningful way, and we can vote at our local, state, federal level eventually. And we're going to take back power from those who have taken it away. And I think we're going to have much better lives for it.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. Germ theory's dead, trumped by the terrain theory. And you are in charge of your terrain. That's why our show is called You're the Cure. Nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. Not fear, but peace. These basic things allow your God-given immunity to be strong and robust, and it will know what to do with COVID-19, with variants, with COVID-20, and with any future germ. You don't need to walk in fear trust your immune system, but you need to steward that immune system. And all this chronic disease we have, it's all coming from the very same thing too. The same thing that degrades your immune system is what sets you up for all these chronic diseases. So eat real food the way God originally made them for us to eat, not man-made, manipulated, just sprayed and changed. Eat real food. It's that simple. Back when our ancestors did this, they were healthy. And I'll remind people, those childhood illnesses were 50% of kids didn't make it to their fifth birthdays in the big cities back east, New York and Boston at the turn of the century. As soon as they cleaned up the terrain, got better sanitation, nutrition, clean water, all that in, the mortality rate on all those germs like measles and whooping cough and all that dropped 99% before the vaccines came out. So it's all about your terrain. Steward the terrain. Y'all check out Ronnie Cummings and organicconsumers.org. Is that right, Ronnie, where they can find you and
yes,
what you're doing?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So organicconsumers.org, the book, again, The Truth About COVID-19 by Dr. Joseph Mercola and Ronnie Cummings. Ronnie, thank you for joining us today. You've been very enlightening and encouraging. Thank you for all you're doing. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben, and all your readers. And we're going to win this battle.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to Ronnie Cummings. Check him out, organicconsumers.org. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. VeritasMedical.com is our website. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, you're the cure. Bye-bye.